Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The military offensive to retake Mosul from ISIS is in its second day. The large and complex operation, which includes the Iraqi military, Kurdish troops, and support from the U.S.-led coalition, could last for weeks or even months. And there are many questions about what happens if Mosul falls, who will be in charge there. Joining us now is Paul Bremer, who led the coalition provisional authority in Iraq after the U.S.-led invasion in 2003 that toppled Saddam Hussein. He was also ambassador at large for counterterrorism under President Reagan, and he joins us from Washington. Welcome.
Nice to be with you, Jeremy.
And you released a statement yesterday about the importance of retaking Mosul, which reads, "It will be a vital demonstration that ISIS is losing. They lost Dabiq over the weekend and, of course, their headquarters in Raqqa, which will presumably follow after the fall of Mosul. So this is an important part of the strategy against ISIS." How important is the retaking of Mosul in the fight against ISIS, do you think?
Well, I think it's a vital first step in the strategy. Ultimately, we have to take them down in Raqqa as well. And I'm quite optimistic about the Mosul operation, though I think there are some important questions that are still on the table.
Questions like what?
Well, there are three things, I think. First of all, can this be done? Can the city be liberated at an acceptable cost to the Iraqi people? Secondly, can security be established in Mosul afterwards? That's obviously vital for any government. And then longer term, can a system of non-sectarian governance be put in place in Mosul? And I think these are the three challenges that the Iraqis and their allies like us will follow on after the fall of Mosul.
Well, how do you make sure that there can be a real system of governance that is respected in Mosul after it falls, after ISIS no longer has control?
I think the main challenge, and it's clear that the Iraqi prime minister understands that, is to avoid having the Iranian-backed Shia militia play an important role. It seems clear that their intention is to not have those militia who are coming mostly from the south and southeast towards Mosul, that they will not be allowed to do the final assault on the urban center itself. And I think that indicates the understanding on the part of the Iraqis that they have to avoid a sectarian approach to the liberation of this big city.
We were speaking with Mike Giglio, who's BuzzFeed's reporter there covering the retaking of Mosul, who said that one of the problems was that he saw looking forward was that even if the Kurds right now are helping out in the fight against ISIS, that after the fact, they're not going to be on the same page as the Iraqi government about control of Mosul.
Well, Mosul is a complicated place. It's got not only a large Kurdish population, it also has quite a few Turkmens. So the Turks are going to be interested in what happens in Mosul. And you, have the Sunni Arabs. The Kurds are also Sunnis by and large, but not Arabs. So it's a complicated mosaic of a place. And all of those questions, like the role of the Kurds, will certainly have to be raised. That's why I said I think the third and most important challenge is to put in place a respectable form of governance for this city. It's the second largest city in Iraq, after all.
What about the American role in this? American forces are involved in airstrikes and firing artillery in this offensive. Technically, they're not involved in combat, but a lot of people say that's really a matter of semantics. Last year, you said President Obama should conduct a more vigorous air campaign against ISIS and redeploy 10,000 troops to fight ISIS. Do you still feel that way? Do you think that the American role is adequate?
Well, we did. I mean, since then, the president has stepped up and, of course, right now, very much stepped up the air operations. And I think that's a good sign. I don't think we need the 10,000 troops at the moment, largely because the process of rebuilding the Iraqi army capabilities has been so successful. After all, this army, and particularly the counterterrorism forces, have already liberated Ramadi, Fallujah, Tikrit, Beji, a number of cities. So they know how to do this. And still, as you point out, we do have combat forces on the ground. We have boots on the ground, to use the other metaphor that is so abused. They are playing an important role in intelligence gathering, targeting, and planning operations. and, of course, in logistics. And I welcome that. I think I congratulate the president on reversing himself. We now have probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 6,000 troops on the ground.
You think there should be more American troops?
I don't have a view on that now. I certainly felt some years ago that we needed 10,000, and now we're at, you know, we're at maybe 6. So I'm not a military expert. We have done what I think we needed to do, and to try to undo the mistake that was made by the administration of pulling the American troops out in 2011.
Well, let's get to that, because there is a lot of conflict about that and whether that decision, which was a decision that the Bush administration had made to pull the troops out, whether that was the reason that ISIS was formed. Do you agree with that? That's what Donald Trump thinks.
Well, just because he thinks it doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong. It was a mistake to pull them out. It was not the Bush intention was to negotiate an agreement to keep troops after the end of 2011. The Obama administration made the decision not to do that. This was a mistake. I think it can be seen fairly clearly. Al-Qaeda had been defeated by the American-trained Iraqi army by the end of 2009. When this administration came to office in early 2009, the vice president announced that they had inherited a stable and politically diverse democracy in Iraq. That was, I think, reversed when we pulled the troops out in 2011. And you see that the ISIS, which is really Al-Qaeda in Iraq version 2, immediately took the field. So I don't think there's much doubt about that's what happened. The question now is, can we, once Mosul is liberated, and I'm confident it will be, do we repeat the mistake and turn our backs again? We need to be sure we're there to help the Iraqis continue the training of their forces, providing adequate security, working on intelligence and special operations.
You say the Obama administration made the decision not to do that, though. Weren't they doing that? Didn't they make that decision because the Iraqi government wouldn't provide amnesty for U.S. soldiers in Iraq?
Well, the word amnesty is incorrect. The discussion was about having a status of forces agreement, a SOFA. We have them with some 80 or so countries, or have had over the last 70 years. Prime Minister al-Maliki was willing to sign that agreement as an executive agreement, and the administration said no, he had to take it to Parliament, which politically for him was very difficult. As a result, the administration was able to say we got no SOFA and therefore we'll pull our troops back. By the way, the 6,000 troops who are operating there now are not operating under a SOFA. So this was an excuse that was made in October or November of 2011 to do what the president wanted to do, which was to get the troops out and declare the war over.
Well, do you share his concern if that is true, that the president just wanted to get the troops out? And that is, of course, something he campaigned on. Do you share his concern about the U.S. getting bogged down by continually sending more troops into Iraq to deal with every city that has to be retaken, et cetera?
Well, of course, I don't think any American politician wants to get our troops, our men and women, brave men and women, involved in something called bogged down. I give the president credit. He reversed himself. We now have thousands of troops on the ground in combat in Iraq. This is probably the biggest and most important operation that we'll be involved in, because it is the second largest city. The third largest city, Basra, in the south is relatively peaceful. So I think one can find the way to reduce the number of American troops there once Mosul is liberated, but it would be a serious mistake to pull them all out. The next president will have to address that question, I'm sure.
How do you respond to people who go back even further for the sort of start of ISIS or what became ISIS and don't blame it on the U.S. pulling troops out, but rather the U.S. putting troops in the first place and invading Iraq, and they say that destabilized the country. That's what led to what eventually became ISIS.
Well, to take that position, you have to make the argument that Iraqis and Americans would be better off with Saddam Hussein still in power, and a Saddam Hussein by this time would have nuclear weapons. We know he had his intentions. We know from the post-war interrogations of his associates that he had the plans, personnel, and policies in place to resume his weapons of mass destruction program. I find it very hard to believe that people can make a serious argument that Iraqis and American interests would be better served if Saddam were still in power. That, to me, is the conclusive argument that it was right to take him out.
But even if that is your view on that, what about that argument that ISIS started as a result of that war?
Well, it's not true. There was al-Qaeda already in Iraq. Its first version was called a terrorist group, a Sunni-based terrorist group called Ansar al-Islam, which was there before the war, which then was taken over by main al-Qaeda under a Jordanian named Zarqawi. And he launched the terrorist attacks already in the summer of 2003 while I was still there. So al-Qaeda was already operating there and was operating more energetically. I have written and spoken often on my view that we did not provide adequate numbers of troops in Iraq to deal with the problems we faced in 2003-2004. There's not much point in relitigating. I've made the point.
Do you have thoughts on the presidential election coming up that you want to share with us?
I really don't. I'm going to have a very hard time figuring out how to vote.
That's Paul Bremer, who led the coalition provisional authority in Iraq after the U.S.-led invasion. He was also ambassador at large for counterterror under President Reagan. Paul Bremer, thank you for joining us.
Nice to be with you, Jeremy.